Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 16 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. We're heading for the home stretch in the series on big topics in the Christian life. Today's big topic is reward. The Bible passage for this episode is Matthew 6, 1 to 6 and 16 to 21. It's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. I'll read the passage from the ESV, the English Standard Version. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The film Field of Dreams opens with the main character, Ray Kinsella, narrating. He starts by introducing his dad, John Kinsella, who was born in 1896. John was a minor league baseball player who idolized Shoeless Joe Jackson and was crushed when Jackson and seven other White Sox players were banned from baseball for throwing the 1919 World Series in a gambling scandal. By the time Ray was born, John was 56 years old. Ray's mom died 3 years later, and Ray spent most of his upbringing fighting with his dad until he left New York City for college in Berkeley, 3,000 miles away. Ray never saw his dad again before John's death in 1974. The retrospective opening concludes with Ray and his wife Annie buying a farm in Iowa. Ray does everything he can to be a good, diligent farmer, until he hears the voice. The voice whispers to him several times while he's working in his cornfields. He hears the voice again that night when he cannot sleep. The voice whispers the same thing each time. If you build it, he will come. Ray finally figures out what that means.
Annie, there's more.
Honey, why don't you wait a little bit?
I think I know what if you build it, he will come means.
Ooh, why do I not think this is such a good thing?
I think it means that if I build a baseball field out there, that Shoeless Joe Jackson will get to come back and play ball again.
You're kidding.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I know, it's totally nuts.
I mean, Shoeless Joe.
He's dead. Daddy 51, he's dead.
He's the one they suspended, right?
Right.
He's still dead?
As far as I know.
Ray plows up quite a bit of his healthy corn and builds a baseball field, complete with lights and some bleachers along the first base line. The field is ready, but no one comes. Fall turns to winter, winter to spring, and spring to summer. and the lost revenue from the area that used to be a cornfield is making things tough.
So how bad is it?
Well, considering how much less acreage we have for corn, I say we'll probably almost break even. We used up all our savings on that field, Ray.
Daddy?
Just a minute, Karen. So what are you saying? We can't keep the field?
Makes it real hard to keep the farm.
Daddy?
In a minute, Karen.
There's a man out there in your lawn.
The man is Shoeless Joe Jackson. He has appeared from the corn beyond center field to play baseball. He tells Ray that the rest of the White Sox players who were banned from baseball would like to play too. Ray agrees. He has done what the voice asked him to do, but his financial situation remains dire. And then the voice returns.
What? I'm sorry, what? I didn't understand. What?
Ease is pain.
Ease is pain? What the hell does that mean? Ease is pain. What pain? Right? Whose pain? Thanks a lot.
Ray figures out that the man whose pain he's supposed to ease is a famous author, now recluse, named Terrence Mann. Ray travels to Boston, finds Terrence, and persuades him to go to a Red Sox game. While they're sitting in the stands at the game, Ray hears another message and sees a name on the scoreboard, Archibald Moonlight Graham of Chisholm, Minnesota. Ray and Terrence leave the game, and Ray drops Terrence off, ready to go to Minnesota on his own.
I wish I had your passion, Ray. Misdirected though it might be, it is still a passion. I used to feel that way about things, but... You got another message, didn't you?
You think I'm crazy?
I already think you're crazy. What did it say?
It said the man's done enough. Leave him alone.
As Ray attempts to drive away, Terrence stops him.
Moonlight Graham.
You saw it.
Saw what?
You saw it. New York Giants, 1922. He played one game, never got to bat. You saw it.
What did I see, Ray?
Chisholm, Minnesota. Man, we were the only ones who saw it. Did you hear the voice, too? It's all right to admit it. It's what told me to find you. Did you hear it?
Go the distance.
Yes. Do you know what it means?
Yes.
What?
It means we're going to Minnesota to find Moonlight Graham.
In Chisholm, Ray and Terrence discover that Graham became a doctor and died in 1972. That night, Annie calls Ray and tells him that her brother and his partners are ready to foreclose on the farm. Ray and Terrence head to Iowa. On the way, they pick up a young man who's hitchhiking. His name? Archie Graham. Back at the Field of Dreams, Archie realizes his dream of getting to bat in a major league game. After he hits a sacrifice fly, Archie gives Ray a knowing look. The next day, Annie's brother, who has been unable to see the players on the field, suddenly realizes that it truly is a field of dreams and tells Ray to keep the field. Then Shoeless Joe gives an invitation to go into the cornfield from which the players emerge each day.
Ray, we're going to call it a day. See you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, do you want to come with us?
You mean it?
No, not you. Him.
him.
Come with you?
Out there.
What is out there?
Come and find out.
Wait a second. Why him? I built this field. You wouldn't be here
Ray,
if it weren't for me. Well, you wouldn't be here
if it weren't... I'm unattached. You have a family.
I know, but I want to know what's out there. I want to see it.
But you're not invited.
Not invited? What do you mean I'm not invited? That's my corn out there. You guys are guests in my corn.
Ray.
No, wait. I have done everything I've been asked to do. I didn't understand it, but I've done it. And I haven't once asked what's in it for me.
What are you saying, Ray?
I'm saying... What's in it for me?
Is that why you did this? For you? I think you better stay here, Ray.
Why?
Ray has sacrificed a great deal. How will he be rewarded? The disciple Peter wondered the same thing. A rich young ruler asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" The answer, sell all you have, give the proceeds to the poor, and follow me. When the man went away sad, Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Peter noted that he and the other disciples had left their homes and followed Jesus. Peter had sacrificed a lot. In the future, he would sacrifice even more. How would he be rewarded? Is it wrong to ask that question? We know that as followers of Jesus, we're promised eternal life with our Creator and with other believers. That certainly is a wonderful reward, one that none of us deserves. Should we be satisfied with that heavenly reward, or should we expect to be rewarded here on earth too? Here's how Jesus answered that question. Right after Peter mentioned the sacrifices that he and the other disciples had made, Jesus said this, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." That's certainly good news, but there's still a challenge with it. We don't know what our reward or rewards will be here on earth. There's a temptation to tell God, or at least suggest to God, how we should be rewarded. I know that I have a tendency to be like Ray. When I see someone else rewarded, I decide that the reward looks pretty good, and I'd like to have it too. But of course, God knows what the best rewards are for me. They're like the best treasures for me, as Jesus explained in the passage for this episode. They're the ones that align with heaven, with God's will for me. They're the rewards that draw me closer to God and other people. Just after Terrence heads into the cornfield, Ray receives his own reward. It's the right reward for him.
What are you grinning at, you ghost?
If you build it, he will come.
Ray looks toward the backstop and sees a ball player that he hasn't seen before.
Oh my God.
What is it?
It's my father. Ease his pain.
Go the distance.
I saw him years later when he was worn down by life. Look at him. He's got his whole life in front of him, and I'm not even a glint in his eye. What do I say to him?
Why don't you introduce him to his granddaughter?
Ray introduces himself, Annie, and Karen to John by first name only, refusing to tell John that he knows that John is his dad. As night falls and John heads for the cornfield, however, Ray decides to do something that he refused to do when his father was alive.
Good night, Ray. Good night, John. Dad? You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
Next week, I'll look at the big topic of strength. Please join me for that. And please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.